Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. It is a blessing that we may come together for the second time this day to join in worship of our triune God. Particular welcome to all members, visitors and guests who have joined us in worship via the live stream this afternoon. May the preaching of the gospel direct our hearts and minds in faith and trust to our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and cause us to live our lives to the honour and glory of our God. Consistory has the following announcements. Sister Kiera Kramer and Brother Jaden Brolsma from the Free Reformed Church of Darling Downs have indicated their intentions to enter into the married state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and complete it to his glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, Saturday, the 5th of December at 1 p.m. at the Free Reformed Church of Darling Downs, with Reverend D. Poppy officiating. Sister Coral Snow and Brother Cameron Fass of the Free Reformed Church of Mount Nazura have indicated their intentions to enter into the married state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and complete it to his glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, Friday, the 11th of December at 11 a.m. at the Free Reformed Church of Mount Nazura, with Reverend D. Poppy officiating. Another station has been requested by Sister Kiera Kramer to the Free Reformed Church of Kelmscott. We wish her the Lord's blessing in a new congregation. This afternoon, Reverend A. Salmon, minister of our sister church at Kelmscott, will lead the worship service. Before we commence the service, let us sing a song of praise to God, hymn 46, verse 4.
Brothers and sisters, please rise. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us sing in response to the greeting of the Lord from Psalm 46, the verses 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, let us now together with the Church of all times and places profess our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. We will do it with the words of the Apostles' Creed as we have them in hymn 2. So let us sing hymn 2. Sister, let us now pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you as our God and our Father. You have called us as your people. You have called us together in this worship service. It is your will that we come together to listen to the preaching of your word and to respond to that in our worship. To do so together as your people. Father, we thank you that one day in a week, that we can come together as your people. It is a blessing that we all are part of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that as body of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can come together to be encouraged and strengthened in our faith. Father, will you then bless us now that we are here together. Bless the preaching of your word. Bless us in listening. Fill our hearts with the desire to live in everything according to your holy will. That your will be done also by us. That we may do so as faithfully as the angels in heaven. Father, give us that we are constantly focused on doing your will. And hallowing your name. that we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and that we may know that you will provide us with all that we need every day again. Father, work in our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Work powerfully so that that may be the focus of our lives, and that in everything we may live in love for you and in love for our neighbor. Father, we thank you that you gave us the opportunity to come together. We know that in many parts of this world, your church is limited much more than we are because of restrictions due to coronavirus. And over the last few weeks, we have heard from churches in North America that also there the restrictions are getting more severe again. Father, be with our brothers and sisters in those countries, in those churches, that they also may receive the strength and the patience to accept this as coming to this world from your fatherly hand. And that this also may be a warning to this world, that they may take heed of your word that's being proclaimed to this world by your church. Father, will you then glorify your name in the preaching of your word? Will you glorify your name in all that is happening in this world? Is all we pray in the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this afternoon I proclaim to you the word of God and what it teaches us about the third petition, about God's will be done. As it is summarized by the church in Lord's Day 49. Let us now read from the Word of God, from Matthew 16, verse 21 to 28, and also from Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. So first, we read from Matthew 16, verse 21 to 28. And we read the word of our God. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And then we read Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. There we read the word of God. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So far, scripture reading. Let us sing from Psalm 46, the verses 3, 4, and 5. Brothers and sisters, let us now read Lord's Day 49 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 49, page 562 of our Book of Praise. In Lord's Day 49, there we read what the Church summarized from God's Word and what the Church confesses about the third petition. What is the third petition? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may deny our own will and without any murmuring obey your will, for it alone is good. Grant also that everyone may carry out the duties of his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Brothers and sisters, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read through the Lord's days about prayer, and especially about the first three petitions, Then we should notice that the Catechism time and again says that we pray for something for ourselves, that we would do something. Hallowed be your name. Grant us, first of all, that we may rightly know you. Your kingdom come. So rule us by your word and spirit that more and more we submit to you. And your will be done. Grant that we and all men may deny our own will. So the prayer which Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray teaches us to start with ourselves. We have to change. We have to submit to God's will. We have to be focused on God's glory. And that is what we pray for. It teaches us an attitude of humility. A humility that goes totally against what we are and what we are used to. We are quick to judge others. We are quick to criticize others if they do something with which we disagree. And sometimes we are even inclined to say that they are not reformed if they do something with which we disagree. We think that our way is the only way. And as churches, we often are also eager to speak about the wrong things in other churches and not very willing to learn the things that we can learn from them. But praying the Lord's Prayer in true faith, it requires humility. It requires that we are willing to submit to God's word, that we are willing to listen to God's word before we act, before we say anything, before we judge. And often when we submit to the word of God, really listen to the word of God, then we don't have the desire anymore to judge others, but then we will judge ourselves. And that's what, especially in the third petition in Lord's Day 49, is emphasized. It is for us important that we first know the will of God, that we really know the will of God, and that we do not say about something that we have as our opinion, this is the will of God. And that has happened so often during history, that people said, God wills it, and therefore we do this. That's how the Crusades started. And I'm not so sure if the Crusades were really according to the will of God, if you look at what all that had happened. God wills it, so often people said, while in fact they're pushing their own will, they convinced themselves first that their will was God's will and that God must be very pleased with them. Examples of that we can also find in the Bible, as we will hear later. And therefore it is important when we pray this petition that we pray this with the desire in our heart to first know the will of God rightly, not to push our own will and then find arguments to explain that our will is the will of God, but first to humble ourselves and in humility listen to God's word, being willing to deny our own will, to change our opinions, and submit ourselves to the will of God. Brothers and sisters, that is what we pray for when we pray this third petition. And that is what I proclaim to you this afternoon. That's the word of God that comes to us, as it is summarized by the church in Lord's Day 49. In the third petition, we pray for God's help, so that we in the first place know the will of God, second, love the will of God, and third, do the will of God. In the third petition, we pray for God's help, so that we in the first place know the will of God. To deny our own will, the Catechism says. Not our will be done, but God's will. And that is what the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Only God's will is good, and we submit to his will. And too often we use common sense to determine what is good and what is not, instead of listening to and obeying the commandments of God. Or we are convinced that what we do is good, this is how we always did it, that is how we do it in the Reformed churches, and therefore it must be good. That is how our parents taught us, and therefore it must be good. and we serve God with that. But in the meantime, everything what others do is, with that, considered to be wrong. But when we really think about it, often it is just our own opinion. Just things we have decided to do a certain way, and may not always be wrong, it may be good, but it does not mean that things being done differently are bad. But sometimes also things which we do because we think it is good, but we haven't really thought about it. We haven't really studied the Bible. It feels good. That's often what you hear from Christians. Why do you do things? Well, I feel I can defend it before God. I feel my conscience is clear. A good example from the Bible is the Apostle Paul. Before Paul was converted, before he served Christ, he was a Pharisee and he persecuted the church. He did it, he believed, out of love for God. He thought what he was doing was good. He persecuted the church even more severely than many others of the Pharisees. And on his way to Damascus, Christ appeared to him and told him that he was persecuting Christ, the Son of God. And there, all of a sudden, it became clear to him that he had an idea about God which was not in accordance with the truth. He thought he knew the entire Bible, but he didn't know God. He thought he knew what the will of God was, but he didn't know the Bible. And that example is given to us to make us humble, brothers and sisters. It's important that time and again we search our own hearts. And we search the scriptures to see if what we think is indeed based on the Bible. The will of God is that we show in our lives that we don't belong to this world. God is the holy God, still the same God as he was in the time that the Bible was written. So we should listen with the same or even more reverence to him as his people did in those days when they were standing at Mount Sinai and the Lord descended on the mountain and they stood in awe. They trembled with fear every time God spoke to them, whether it was there at the mountain or on later days. God teaches us that we also are standing before this God, the God who showed his majesty on Mount Sinai. And we have not come to a mountain now, but to the living God. God demands that we take time to be still and know that the Lord is God, as we sing in Psalm 46. That we know his will by listening to him, submitting to him. And that it is our highest desire to do what is pleasing to God every day again. And especially when we are busy, we should take time to listen to God by taking the Bible, remembering the words which we read during the day. We meditate on what we read and we let it come back to us during the day, time and again. Let those words which you read in the morning get stuck in your mind. When you read a passage, think about it. Look at one verse, for instance, which is central and which you should remember. Memorize that verse at the beginning of the day and let it come back the rest of the day. That is meditating on God's word the whole day. That is what David writes about when he speaks in a psalm about thinking about God the whole night when he's laying on his bed. Every time when he wakes up, it comes back to him. That is speaking about it, as Deuteronomy 6 says, when you sit down and when you rise up, when you walk along the way and when you are at home. Let those words get stuck in your mind. Remember them. Memorize them. God wants us, not in the first place to act, not in the first place to be busy, but first and above all to listen. Listen to him and obey him. Depend on him so that his spirit guides us in our entire life. God did everything for his people when he led them out of Egypt. He didn't need them to do his wonderful work. They just had to listen to him. He did everything for them. He punished Pharaoh and all his host. He punished Egypt. It was the same in the desert. He provided them with food and clothing and all that they needed. The same when they were in Canaan. God fought for them. And every time that they went astray and turned their backs on him, things went wrong. They all toiled in useless pain. They were oppressed. But as soon as they turned back to the Lord, he blessed them and provided them with all that they needed. He did everything for them. Therefore, brothers and sisters, knowing that, first of all, we must be quiet. Listen to God. Be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46. Listen to his word. His spirit works through his word. Pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. God will make it clear in your life how he wants to be served by you. God will make it clear. If only you are willing to listen to his word and obey his commandments. And then he will bless you richly. It is important that we learn to read the Bible. And that we do so already when we are young. It is through the word of God that the Holy Spirit works in you. Also in the children. When they grow up, parents have a task to instruct them in this doctrine of salvation. It is through the work of the parents that the children get to learn this doctrine and that the Holy Spirit works in them faith. In the first place, the parents. So parents, talk about it. Teach your children how to be busy with the Word of God. It's important that as parents you read with your children. Show them the reverence for God's word when you read the Bible. And when your children see that you take time to read the Bible and don't do it in a hurry, but that you do it with reverence and good attention, and that you don't just read a small part quickly because you have other things to do, but if you take time for it, then that will teach them that God's word is very special. Parents, you have an important task here. And then also, how do we sit here in church? As parents, but also others, those who don't have children. There are young children here in the midst. And it's good to see that. It's beautiful to see that they belong to God's people. But it also means that others sitting here, adults, they have to be an example. Although children don't understand everything, they can notice if the people sitting here, if they love God or not. If they are here because they want to be here, or they are here just to sit the service out. It's important that you give a good example as parents, but also as others. You are all responsible for those little ones amongst us. They can see in what we do, that the worship service is something special. We want to be here. And they can learn from that that it is something very special to come to church. Because here we listen not to a man on the pulpit, but we listen to God, the Lord, who speaks when his word is being proclaimed. Brothers and sisters, are you glad to see those children in the church? Or do you show that you're annoyed that they can't sit still? But also when you sit in church, whether you're a parent or not, we are all responsible for each other. Show reverence in your attitude towards God. Remember that you all have to be examples to these little ones, which God entrusted to us as congregation. Let it be a good example. God wants everyone to serve him, young and old. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, we read it together. that is for everyone. It is not that you only need to be serious when you come to a certain age that you are expected to make profession of faith. No, God demands reverence from everyone here in church, also the children. A sin does not become sin only after you made profession of faith. And you don't have to take responsibility for your sins only after you made profession of faith. But a sin is also a sin before that. And therefore, already when you're a child, you must do your best to learn from the Bible who God is and what His will is. And young people, when you grow up, it's very important that you know how to read the Bible and how to know God's will from the Bible. God revealed His will in the Bible. You don't have to wonder what God's will is. No, you have it in the Bible. At least in the Bible, God tells us what He wants you to do, how He wants you to live. The Bible does not contain God's complete will. There are things in this life which we don't understand. God did not reveal His complete plan of salvation to us. He did not reveal everything that's going to happen. But everything that we must know, that is in the Bible. Everything that we must know for our salvation is in the Bible. Everything that we must know to serve the Lord is in the Bible. And many times there are things in our lives about which we have questions. We don't understand why God let this happen. And that is what we must accept in faith. Although that's not always easy. It can be a tough struggle. But God will never force us to act against His will. So you can't use anything that is happening in your life as an excuse to go against God's commandments. Because that will of God is clear. If it comes to the will of God, which we have to obey, there is nothing unclear in the Bible. We all can know from the Bible how God wants us to live. And yes, it is true, we live in a totally different time than the people of the Bible, than David and Moses and Paul and Peter. Indeed, there was no television in the time of the Bible. There was no internet in the time of the Bible. Medical science is much farther now than in the time of the Bible. And yes, that may place us for many different questions than people had to deal with at the time that the Bible was written. But there is no excuse for us not to keep God's commandments. It's no excuse for us to say that God's word does not apply to us anymore. Because God's commandments are still clear, all 10 of them. Using God's name in vain is still a sin, even when it happens on television or on the internet. And adultery and pornography is still a sin, also on television and the internet and in books. And greed is still a sin, also a big sin in our time, just as much as in the Bible. And if it comes to medical science, then the Bible is clear enough if it comes to respect for human life as given and created by God. No doubt about that. If you really love God, and if you really want to serve Him, then it will not be difficult to understand what the will of God is for our life, even though the whole society and everything in this world may be different from the time of the Bible. Still, it is clear what God's will is. God's will does not change. And if it is still difficult for us to know what God wants us to do in certain situations, then the first thing you have to do is start humbling yourself. Start denying, totally denying your own will. So many difficulties in understanding of the will of God are the result of a desire to do your own will. You're finding excuses to be able to do certain things or not to do other things which you don't want to do. Instead of that, you should humble yourselves and listen to the word of God, knowing that the word of God is the word of the eternal God, and the will of God never changes. Therefore, take up your cross. Follow Jesus Christ. God does not exactly tell us how to act in every concrete, specific situation. And I know a lot of people would like to be told exactly what to do and what not to do. And when they listened to a sermon, some people would love the minister to say exactly what is right, what is not right. Well, let me tell you, that is not how God gave his word. God wants to test us. God is testing us by giving us his commandments. And then it depends on our attitude. We can say, if God does not explicitly forbid us, then it is allowed. That's a liberal way. You can do everything that God does not explicitly forbid. But that is not the right attitude. God wants us to show our love for him in everything that we do. And then many things that are not explicitly mentioned in the Bible, we still cannot do them because it is not to the honor of God. In everything we do, we want to praise God. That is our focus. That is our desire. We want to show our love. And that determines all that we do. And if that is how we live, then there are so many things that we don't even have questions about. We don't do it because we feel already that it is not out of love for God. And other things we do gladly because we want to do it for God. God is testing us. If God would want us to live exactly according to certain rules, he would have given us those rules in detail, as he did in the Old Testament to the Israelites. He treated them like children, but now he treats us like adults. And he tells us, show me your love. These are the Ten Commandments. Here you know what God's will is for your life. Now show me your love. Do you wholeheartedly keep those commandments? Or do you want to do as much as possible what you want until God explicitly forbids it? That is the question. Do you love God or do you love yourself? God's will be done. No doubt about it in our lives. We love God so much that we don't want to do anything that can even a little bit against the honor of God. And that brings us to the second point, that we love the will of God. Are we convinced that the will of God is good? Psalm 119 says that we take great delight in God's commandments. Well, is that really true? Do we take great delight in God's commandments? Do we love the law of God? And if we do, then we will listen also very seriously to all God's commandments. Obeying God's commandments, that is not easy. We must deny our own will. And denying our own will, that will hurt. Very often it's a difficult struggle to obey God's commandments. Obeying the will of God, even if you love God and want to do his will, it's not always easy. As Paul explains in Romans 7, where he says that if he wants to do good, and he knows what is good, and if he wants to do good, evil is there right with him. Constantly the temptation to evil, and so easily he gives into it. And he cries out, I, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Preaching of the word of God often goes against our own thoughts and opinions. We don't come to listen to the preaching so that we will be entertained, that we can go home and say it was a beautiful sermon. I very much loved what I heard, but it didn't change me. We don't come here to listen to what our itching ears would like to hear, so that we are pleased by this work of art that the minister performed, or the jokes that he told, or the show that he performed. No, that is not what we come in church for. Our own will always wants to go in the opposite direction of the word of God. And when the word of God is being preached, and often that is what we don't want to hear deep in our heart, that we don't want what God wants us to do. And therefore, when we come to church, It is to be encouraged to deny our own will, sometimes even to be admonished. And we don't always like what we hear, but we acknowledge that this is the will of God, and therefore we do it. We fight against our own evil will, our old nature. Denying our own will does not mean that our own will must be killed. If God wants to kill our own will, then that would mean that we become totally will-less, without any will of ourselves. And as robots, we would fulfill the will of God. The will of God would be like a software that told us how to act, but that is not what God wants us to do. That is not what God wants us to be. That is not how He created us. When God created us, when everything was good before the fall and sin, God created us with a free will. A free will does not mean that we were allowed to choose whatever we wanted. A free will means that out of our own free will, out of our own desire, we could choose to love God. The command was to love God. But God created us with a free will, so that would be our own desire to love God. And that is how God wanted us to be. And that is how God makes us new again. That we again, from our own desire, choose to love God. Colossians 49 speaks about obeying God's will as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Willingly, that means that you want to do it. You cannot be willing if you don't have a will. We don't obey God's will because He is powerful and He can force us to obey Him, but because we are convinced that His will is good, because we love Him. That's what God works in us through the Holy Spirit. Even the most holy people, if you can speak about that, they don't want to obey God and do His will if it is not given to them by the Holy Spirit. And we must pray this petition so that He works in us the new life, so that we may deny our own will and that our will be renewed. Part of our new life is the love for God, the love for His word, and the desire to do what is good, so that we do it without murmuring. And when the Spirit works in us, then this desire will come in our hearts, the desire to do all God's commandments. God shows His love for us in these commandments, because He knows that our life will be good if we do keep these commandments. God knows that if we do not obey these commandments, then our life will become a misery, eternal misery. This is how He created. The Ten Commandments are a description of life, how God created it, how God intended it, and how God also redeems us. This is what He redeems us for, to live these Ten Commandments heartily and willingly, in love for God, in love for God's will, to serve Him in love. And when we really love Him, then we will also enjoy it, to do His will and obey His commandments. And that will be a pleasure for us. And now here on this earth, we will only have a small beginning of it. But there is indeed that beginning, as the Catechism says in Lordship 44, question and answer 114. Nevertheless, with earnest purpose, they do begin to live not only according to some, but to all the commandments of God. And that brings us to the third point, that we pray for God's help so that we do the will of God. When we pray this petition, then we pray God for His Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit works in us the will to obey all God's commandments. God works in us through His Holy Spirit, but that does not mean that His Spirit comes over us as a higher power which we cannot resist, as a power which works in us but totally without us. No, when the Spirit works in us, then the Spirit changes us so that our minds and our hearts are more and more being renewed. Then we listen to the preaching of the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit works in us so that we know and understand more and more God's commandments. But then we also want to do God's will. The desire to do God's will is worked also by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convinces us of sin. Often we don't really want to confess our sins. Often we pray, forgive us our sins, but we don't really want to mention our sins by name. We don't want to look back on a day which is coming to an end, and we don't want to say one for one, this was a sin, that was a sin, that was a sin. There I was wrong, and there I was wrong. No, it is more our inclination to blame others for things that went wrong. But that is what we have to do. If we really want to change, then we have to address our sins. And if you call sin what is sin, if you call sin what God calls sin, then we know that we must change our lives. And that we must not do that sin anymore. Sometimes we deceive ourselves. We don't feel really comfortable with how things went, but we don't really want to confront our sins. We don't want to mention it by name. We don't want to admit that I was wrong there. And then we think that as long as we don't speak about it, as long as we don't call it a sin, then we can get away with it. But that is not what the Spirit works in us. The Spirit works in us through the Word of God, that we really know our sins, that we mention our sins to God, and that then we fight against sin. If we really study the Bible, and if we really pray to God for His Holy Spirit, then we can be sure that God gives us His Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit works in us so that we really know what is good and what is evil, and not only know, but also do what is good and hate what is evil. From time to time, we are only lukewarm in our deeds. We don't really want to sin. No, we know that sin is wrong. But on the other hand, we don't really want to flee from sin either. We want to participate in this world and what this world has to offer, but we also want to be saved and have eternal life. But the more the Spirit works in us, the more He works a radical change in us. More and more, we will then notice that indeed it is our desire to do the will of God. And when we pray, Your will be done, then we must also be willing to accept it, that the Holy Spirit changes our life radically. That He turns it totally upside down. That our characters are going to change. If we are grumpy, then we become friendly. If we are eager for a fight, then we become people of loving peace and building good relationships. Now we are indeed different from this world. And we don't respond to what others do to us in the way the world does. But we are humble, gentle, friendly, have patience. And others will see it in our lives that we are different. Inevitably. They will notice that we are governed by the Spirit of God. We are different in the way we treat our peers, our neighbors, our customers, our employers, our employees. And brothers, sisters, if you look at your own life, are you known by those around you? Are you known for your faithfulness, for your kindness, for your patience, for your honesty? Are you known for that? Look at yourself and then what you do. And think, if others see me like this, what would they think of me? And what do you show in your way of life when others see that? What is the message they get? How much do you desire to do the will of God? Not only to know the will of God, but also to do the will of God. And what do you do if you see your brother or sister sin? Do you love him and want to save him? Or do you live in self-righteousness, condemning each other, and you just follow the rule of Matthew 18, the rule of Matthew 18? It's just a rule which you have to follow in order to get to report him to consistory. Now, if you really love your brother, you want him to be saved. Pray for the Spirit to work in you so that you obey God's will, that you do God's will. God's will is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Sacrifice your entire life, a sacrifice of thankfulness. Sacrifice, that means give. Everything in your life is about giving, sharing. And that's God's will for our lives. He who first gave his own son for us. He wants us to become more and more like his son, Jesus Christ, in his human nature. That we take up our cross and follow him. Sacrifice ourselves, a living sacrifice of thankfulness. Romans 12. That is not our own work. It will be impossible if it depended on us. But that is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. It is not something we can do ourselves. The Spirit of God works it in us. And then your life will change, because that is a gift of God. God obtained it for us. Christ obtained it for us by his redeeming work. And he gives it to us through his Holy Spirit. Therefore, brothers and sisters, receive it in faith. And praise God for his work for you and in you. And then you will love his commandments. And you will do his will. You will be able to do so through his Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us sing in response to God's word from Psalm 119, the verses 7, 8, and 9. Father in heaven, Again, we come before you in a prayer and we humble ourselves before you. Father, we pray, working us with your Holy Spirit so that we give up our own will, that we deny our own will, that we give up our pride, that we do not put ourselves in the first place, but that first and above all, we listen to you. We acknowledge that your word is only good, that your commandments are a blessing. But also that so often we, that our own desires are going against your commandments. Father, give us then that we are willing to give up our own desires, our own opinions, our own thoughts, and that we are eager to learn from your word, to learn what your will is for our lives, to discern more and more from your word what you want us to do. And help us then to live a life in love for you. That all that we do is determined by our love for you, a love for our neighbor. Father, then it doesn't make it difficult for us anymore because there is so much that becomes clear in our lives. Will you work that in us through your Holy Spirit? Will you give us the joy to do the things which are good and the desire to resist all that's evil, to resist the devil and all his evil work? Father, we thank you for your word. Your word that gives us life. It is through your spirit that you work faith in us, that you strengthen our faith. That by faith we may live in the joy of a new life. And that that joy may be visible in our lives for many others to see it. And that we may be known in this world as loving people, kind, patient, honest, people eager to do what is good, not in the first place for ourselves, but for you and for our neighbor. Father, bless us then, and make us, as your church, a blessing for this world, that many more may see us and may get to know the gospel of salvation and receive life. Father, be with us this week. Guide us in everything. Give us wisdom to fulfill our daily task and use us to build your kingdom and to glorify your name. Father, this all we pray in the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us now sing from Psalm 112. Come, praise the Lord. Let all revere him. Psalm 112, the verses 1, 2, and 3.
Praise the Lord, let us all revere him.
brothers and sisters receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.